It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined, not as always, by Gemma Konecka. She's gone. She's out of here. Not forever.
GFA'd.
She's skiing in Vail. Because
wow.
She
always hates on us for sounding bougie.
I know. She's literally skiing in Vail. That other voice you hear is Jake Mintz.
Hello.
Who's currently wearing a hat with a J on it in honor of himself.
No.
No?
It's for Jordan Schusterman.
In honor of his other half, Jordan Schusterman. Jake and Jordan, as you know, are Cespedes Family Barbecue. We also have on the phone Chris Landers. Hello, Chris.
Hello. I coincidentally am also wearing a hat with the letter C on it.
Is it for Chris?
Yeah, just you know, walking around the house. Just want to make sure that the brand is secure.
Good. This Gemma leaves and all of our egos just completely explode. That's
no.
Yeah,
that's
she was the only thing keeping us in check.
No.
My ego had already hit the ceiling.
Okay.
The ceiling is the roof, Dakota Gardner. There.
Okay.
I got to break through my ego's glass ceiling for Dakota.
You're going to go to Google, who's above us.
Yes.
Yeah, your ego is.
The only place my ego can go is Google.
Yeah.
These walls cannot contain my ego.
That's if you're listening, that is true. finally a true fact on the Cut Forecast. We have a lot to get to, though, more than just me making jokes about Jake. We also have baseball news to discuss and some sort of tangentially baseball news. For example, Mike Trout, he's in the news, not for baseball, though, for a different sport with ball at the end. Also, Ichiro Suzuki is in the news, but not for baseball, for entomology. Fun fact there. And
that bugs me.
Some actual baseball news. It's today, literally like 2 hours after we're done recording this podcast, we're going to find out who's in the Hall of Fame. We don't know. You'll know when you're listening to this podcast who is in the Hall of Fame.
Which is a lamer version than the reverse, which would be us revealing to you who's in the Hall of Fame.
That would be lame.
That would be cool. If we knew who was in, and we had
that
like
would be
the
cool.
scoop.
That would be cool, but then it would just sit in the recording universe before the podcast became available. It would be like sort of this netherworld. Whereas now, we're in the past.
You've got a control flow of information.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. And then Jake and Jordan live tweeted MLB Network's 50 greatest bat flips of all time.
Yeah.
And we want to talk about that, break that down a little bit as well. But before we get to all of that, I know, that's a lot of news. That's a ton of stuff. But before we do all of that stuff, I want to talk about a gentleman by the name of Todd Frazier, who you may recall.
Oh, Dad.
Yes,
the Godfather.
Dad, who you may recall as the member of the Yankees who popularized the thumbs down meme in the postseason or toward the end
May-May.
Of the regular season.
The thumbs down
May-May. Sorry, May-May. You're right. Sorry, it's May-May. toward the end of the season. You may recall the specifics of that was the Yankees were playing a game against the Rays at Citi Field, at Citi Field, and the there was a Frazier hit a home run, and the gentleman was, put his thumb downwards toward the ground.
His best deadpan look.
Exactly. And the Yankees embraced it, led by Frazier, and it became the symbol of their October run. Well, guess what? Todd Frazier finally met that man. His name is Gary Dunier. And they hadn't met until Saturday when Frazier was at a Steiner Sports event on Long Island. And the gentleman, the thumbs down man, showed up. Todd Frazier said, quote, "It was good. He's a nice guy to finally meet him, and he looks good. He's playing the part off well. He looks like an upstanding gentleman, and it was nice to finally meet him." That was according to the Daily News.
If you were to draft places where Todd Frazier would meet thumbs down guy, a Steiner Sports event on Long Island is your top five picks.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean,
right?
Clearly, yeah.
And him using the phrase upstanding gentleman is like exactly what you would think.
Because technically he's a thumbs downing gentleman.
Technically. Yeah, we're going to give that one. We're going to give that one a C-.
I'm waffling on that one. I'm not sure.
Chris, as the resident
Please
Yankees
get
fan,
agreed.
as the resident Yankees fan on the Cut Forecast, did this do your heart well to see two icons of the Yankees franchise, Todd Frazier and Thumbs Down Man, who himself is a Mets fan, together?
I got to say, when I first heard about the story, I was a little disappointed.
Why is that?
Because I really respected Gary Dunier's, like the purity of his animosity towards the Yankees, that he would go to a game not even involving his team, which is the Mets, solely to express his disapproval in the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was such a cool thing. And, like, I almost thought it would be, like, better left without context, that, like, we had that pure moment and it was great, and this man would just live forever, you know, his hatred burning eternal for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when they met, you know, Todd Frazier is such a charming guy, and, like, Gary Doudier seemed so happy to meet him that I was eventually won over by it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to lie. I'm not sure what this means for the meme going forward.
I think it's probably the end of the meme. Like, I think of...
Yeah, that was my thought.
Like, you know when there's a celebrity who goes on Saturday Night Live and they, like, interact with the person who does the impression of that celebrity on Saturday Night Live, and then it's never the same again. It's bad. They don't do it anymore. That's what this reminds me of.
Well, the other question that I had that I wanted to kick to both of you is, Todd Frazier, obviously a free agent right now. Mm-hmm. He might be re-signed by the Yankees. He might go somewhere else. If he's signed by another team, who gets to claim ownership of the meme? Is it Todd Frazier's meme or the Yankees meme?
It's a Yankees meme.
Yeah. It's all-time Yankees meme. Maybe the Mets, if he like signed with the Mets, you could maybe be like, well, it happened in Citi Field.
Well, then what you would do is you get a bunch of pictures of the guy with his thumbs up.
You
flip it over, and then he's thumbs up guy.
That's
innovating.
Thumbs up guy is less like that's sort of just very
like a really
generic.
Happy guy.
Yeah,
yeah. That was my nickname in middle school, was thumbs up guy.
Is that a true story?
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, you know, we only report facts on the Cut Forecast.
We should play Jake Min's Fact or Fiction, because I was ready to believe that.
I would believe pretty much any story.
Eight lies and a truth.
I would believe that all of them were true, and it would be shocking. But let's move on instead of playing that game. Let's move on to the next topic on the Cut Forecast. I want to talk about Mike Trout, who, as you know, is from New Jersey. Chris, you're also from New Jersey. I'm not from New Jersey, although I do live in New Jersey now. So there's a lot of Jersey on this podcast.
I got a new Orioles jersey last weekend.
That's true. Jake did. So he's an honorary New Jerseyan in that way. Mike Trout, being from New Jersey, he's from South Jersey, which makes him an Eagles fan. Super passionate about the Eagles. I don't know if you know this, because this is a baseball podcast. You may not be aware. But the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. They qualified for the Superb Owl.
They finished first in their group.
They won the pennant.
They won the division.
They won the division and the pennant. And I think Carson Wentz is on the DL.
Yeah,
and
that's the seven series.
Yeah, that's. I assume that's
that
how
is
it goes.
A crazy football thing to think about, right? So like, the 2013 Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
Won three postseason games
mm-hmm.
and didn't make it out of the first round. They won the wild card game and pushed the Cardinals to five.
Yeah.
And if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, they'll have won three postseason games.
That's true.
Isn't that weird?
I know
it's like scaled differently, but it's just still weird to think about.
I think what this means is that the Royals are a better postseason team than the Patriots.
I'll take that.
That's just facts.
Those are facts. That's just math. Chris,
quick math.
Actually, I knew you were going to say that. Chris has had the opportunity to talk to Mike Trout about his Eagles fandom. Is that not correct?
It is correct. Yes.
So, what did you learn from the Fish God about whether or not the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, about the city of Philadelphia and the greater Philadelphia area's excitement over their Eagles?
Yeah, I learned a couple of pertinent Mike Trout Eagles facts. First of all, his favorite Philly celebration video, you know, there were all those, you know, viral videos after the Eagles won the game last weekend of Philly celebrating like only Philly can. And his favorite was the one of the man running, trying to catch a train on the platform and running straight into a pole. He mm-hmm. thought that was great.
That was a good one. Fun fact, that happened
news
before
there.
The game.
Yeah.
Which is an insane thing. If you saw that video, you may have been like, oh, Philly just in a hilarious delirium after qualifying for the Super Bowl. Which, by the way, qualifying for the Super Bowl, they haven't even won it yet. But no, that was before the game.
I think you're a narc. I don't think you qualify for the Super Bowl.
You qualify for the
qualify?
Super Bowl. You qualify.
I think you can qualify.
Your sporting franchise qualifies for the Super Bowl.
The dude who ran into that pole belongs in the Shoot Your Shot Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you aren't aware, Jake maintains the Shoot Your Shot Hall of Fame at his desk.
Yeah.
Do you have any other members, work-friendly members of the Shoot Your Shot Hall of Fame?
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's like the president of the Shoot Your Shot Hall of Fame.
Yeah, literally shoots a shot every day.
Yep. Kurt Flood's a good one.
Kurt Flood's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, J.R. Smith is like the original Shoot Your Shot guy.
That's a good Hall of Fame.
I have a question. What shot was that guy shooting?
Which guy? Kurt Flood or the pole guy?
The pole guy.
What a good question. What shot was he shooting, Jake?
So anybody who goes 110% energy and passion and excitement in a given moment and fails, especially on a physical level, by running into a brick structure.
Yeah.
The shooting your shot there is running after that train.
Yeah, daring to catch a train that was already fully in motion.
Yes, he wasn't trying to catch it. The purpose of that action was to pump the people up on the train. Like, the fact that in his head he's like, there's a 0.00001% impact I can have on these people who will have a 0.00001% impact on the crowd at the Eagles game. I'm helping the Eagles. I love
there
that.
You go. And you know, I bet the crowd was at least, 0.1% louder because of what they'd seen on their way to the stadium.
My point exactly.
Yeah, that's good. I'll count that.
How much more, what was Mike Trout's impact on this Eagles postseason run? Do you think it is like more than zero? I do.
I do too. One of the things that I was surprised to learn is that he's actually pretty good friends with some of the guys in the Eagles locker room. He was close with Carson Wentz, who, as Dakota mentioned, was unfortunately lost to injury earlier in the season.
Tommy John.
So he's not around. But for instance, the dog mask that Mike Trout wore to the game, the Eagles are underdogs and they've all rallied around these weird dog masks. It was actually given to him by Lane Johnson, who is a member of the Eagles offensive line. And he wouldn't go into detail about, what, if any, pep talk he shared with the team, in the week leading up to the game. But I'm willing to bet there was some sort of motivation going on there.
He's also, one of the more famous people from that part of the country.
Yeah, right. If the best player in baseball is rooting for you, that has to have some kind of effect. Well, it would affect me if he was, pulling for my blogging every day.
Yeah, well, you think about, when LeBron was cheering for the Indians, right? There is something to, the best player in a sport cheering for the other sport, that matters.
For me, the chain here isn't Trout really good friends with Zach Ertz?
He is, yeah.
Right, so if I'm Zach Ertz, now that I'm friends with Mike Trout, I feel more confident in myself as a person.
Yeah.
That I know famous, incredible athlete Mike Trout really well.
Yeah, and
I'm bringing that
Mike
confidence
Trout
onto the football field.
Of his time.
Right, I'm bringing that assuredness week in, week out on the gridiron. With the pigskin.
Jake is a very passionate football fan.
I used to be.
Yeah, I used to be, too.
Used to be a big Jets fan, and then the Mark Sanchez butt fumble happened. I haven't watched a game start to finish since.
That'll break the spirit of you and the strongest Jets fan.
Mike Trout, what was his – he said the video of the fan running into the pillar was, quote, hilarious. That was his word?
Yeah. He said it was hilarious. He, like any good fan would, he didn't even think before picking the Eagles over the Pats 31-24.
All right.
In case you want to take my Trout's word for it. Football analyst Mike Trout.
In that scenario, you're giving Brady the ball in a one touchdown game at the end of the game. So
if you're going to praise guys who shoot their shots, how can you shoot your shot harder than picking against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl?
Also, what do you expect a guy to do? No one in the history of the world has been my team is going to lose the Super Bowl by 21 points.
That's a heck of a hedge, though. That's arguably more of a shoot your shot move, is betting against your own team in the Super Bowl.
Not even bet, just being we're going to get crushed, and here's the score. No one's ever
that's
in the history
the ball
of sports. Yeah. That's when the Panthers have been. I'm a Panthers fan ostensibly, so that's a fun fact about me. I hate the Patriots, and when the Panthers were in the Super Bowl, the Jake Delhomme game, I was sure we were gonna win that game. I was sure we were gonna win the Denver game, and it didn't matter. We lost, and in hindsight, we did lose both of them, and we got Brady'd on a one possession game. Yes, I know, but I've lost
what's
track
the
of the
baseball
point that
equivalent
I was even making
of, what's the baseball equivalent of getting Brady'd?
The baseball
David Ortiz, I think.
Yeah. I think getting Ortiz.
Like Big Poppy hitting a late inning home run to tie or take the lead.
I'm gonna say it. We talk about on this podcast all the time. Gemma isn't here, so it's less fun. But Ortiz hitting the grand slam against the Tigers is that's pretty much what it was. That fun fact happened on the same night as Brady did a Brady against the Saints. It was like week, you know, 15.
So really, what you're saying is Boston sports needs to be disbanded.
Your words, not mine. Let us move on from the NFL, because this is ostensibly a baseball podcast. And let's talk about bugs. So a scientific researcher in the state of Florida discovered and he actually works for the Canadian National Collection of Insects, but he is a Marlins fan. His name is Jose Fernandez Triana, and his favorite member of the Miami Marlins is, of course, Ichiro. And he discovered a new species of wasps, and so he decided to name that species, I'm going to butcher this, Dialgocaster ichiroi. So it's named after Ichiro, which is really all you need to know. And the question I'm going to pose to the two of you, first of all, it's sad that it's a wasp, because I hate wasps and anything that can sting you.
Yeah.
So I'm sad that the Ichiro bug is a wasp. But if you could name any animal in the world after a baseball player, which player would it be? And what animal would it be? Jake, what do you got?
So the obvious one is I would name a lion after Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. More than any other human being in my consciousness, when I see him, I just think of an animal of a lion.
That's good.
I know that's kind of a cop out to be like Bryce Harper's
not a cop out.
Lion.
No,
but, he just conjures up that image in my head.
Yeah, it's like mine would be Puig as a horse because of the Vince Scully thing. I think it's okay.
Yeah,
it's not a cop out.
I like that.
Okay,
Landers, what do you got?
I kind of went back and forth here. I think the player that I would most want to name something after, that I would most want to commemorate from baseball history, is probably Ricky Henderson, because he's Ricky and he's fantastic.
Yes.
So then I started to think about which animal, what would Ricky Henderson's spirit animal be? And I'm thinking some sort of really fast bird.
Okay.
If I could name a species of eagle after Ricky Henderson, that would be awesome.
I like that. I think that's a
because
good
one. It's, fierce but also fast, and I don't know, it just seems like a suitably regal thing for Ricky.
Here's the positive of the Ichiro wasp is the worst thing in the world is getting stung by an insect, right? But if you get stung by the Ichiro wasp, you'd be like, ow, oh, well, it's at least it's named after Ichiro. So it would give a tiny bit of relief to you as you get stung.
How would you know that it is an Ichiro wasp specifically?
Good question. And don't wasps die after stinging you?
There's now one less Ichiro wasp in the world because you were stung by it.
I thought that's just bees. I thought wasps just go for it, and they just go.
I assumed it was most things with a stinger, but maybe that was just wishful thinking.
Bees shoot their shots.
Bees?
All bees shoot
their
shots.
Yeah, that's true, because they sting, and then that's it.
Well, and all they're trying to do the whole time is impress the queen.
That is true. And they, all flowers in the world are the result of bees.
That is not, what does that have to do with shoot a shot?
Well, but it's a positive thing they do.
Yeah, but it's not brave.
It's
they're feeding.
It's brave.
Ioannis Egret-Spitus is my next animal player.
I feel like Jake's puns are sliding downhill here.
Yeah. This is not the strongest that you have been with your puns, I will say. Jake, if you don't know, Jake is one of the preeminent MLB pun people.
Yeah, Jake is a pun master. Right.
Have you guys ever been on a podcast where people directly critique your creativity to your face? Because I have before.
Really? Which podcast was that? Is it the Cut Forecast?
No.
No?
Okay. I did 111 episodes with Jordan Schusterman, so I'm trained.
I miss Jordan.
You want to go get him?
Yeah, let's go get Jordan. Let us move on, though. But before we do, we want to take a moment to tell you about the MLB Pipeline podcast, which focuses on all things draft and prospect related. Jake, do you have any thoughts on the MLB Pipeline podcast?
I like prospects.
Yes.
And
I figured.
Yeah, and I like them in my ears.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I want to do that and make that happen, that's where I will go to listen to that.
What a ringing endorsement from you, Jacob. If the MLB Pipeline podcast features the draft and prospect gurus Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo and Tim McMaster, you like all of those people.
I do. I especially like Tim McMaster.
Yeah, they're great. They're all great people. Every week they talk about what's going on in the universe of MLB's future stars. In last week's episode, Jim, Jonathan, and Tim discussed the new prospects entering the Pirates system in exchange for Andrew McCutchen and Gerrit Cole. Do you have thoughts on that?
No.
No, me neither. Then they turn their attention to the starting pitchers in their upcoming top prospect rankings. To hear that and more, search for MLB Pipeline in Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts and click subscribe.
Camille Leonis Martin.
It is now time to talk about the Hall of Fame. That's right. Today is Hall of Fame Day. Now, you know, we could pretend that we know who's going to the Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah, Chipper Jones, Jim Tomey. We don't know.
We have a vague sense
that Chipper Jones, for example, will be in the Hall of Fame, but we don't know for sure. You know, which means you know more than we do, which is kind of a power imbalance, if I'm being honest. But I thought what might be fun is to talk about who would be a great cut four Hall of Famer. These guys are not necessarily the best baseball players ever. They're not, you know, they're not in the 3,000 hit club. They're the guys who we just really like to watch, or they're the guys who are really fun, or they're the guys whose stars burned brief but bright in our league. Chris, I want to start with you. Yeah. Is there anybody that sort of sticks out in your mind as like somebody who maybe wouldn't be worthy of a Hall of Fame spot, but could be worthy of a cut four Hall of Fame spot?
I have a couple of thoughts. The first was Munenori Kawasaki,
yes,
late of the Cubs farm system, just for everything he brings to the table, whether it's stretching or singing or just general merriment.
Yeah, he's like probably inner circle cut four Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's first ballot for sure. He should be in the first Hall of Fame class.
Mm-hmm.
My other thought was Tony Plush.
Oh my God, that was mine.
That's mine too.
With Nigel Morgan.
The first 100% ballot for the Cup Four Hall of Fame, Nigel Morgan.
That's great.
That's like the early days of Cup Four. He was like, he was the guy. He was the old, like the man, like the way we
remember
we think
when he wore an army helmet after a walk off hit one?
Yes.
It was amazing.
The whole Tony Plush thing. Like, if you come up with an alternate identity, you're automatically in the Cup Four.
I did that, and you guys told me to settle down and stop thinking so highly of myself.
We did. It's true. We did tell you that. But you are not a professional baseball player.
Not anymore.
You were, but you are not anymore.
For one shining moment.
Yeah. You could be in the Cup Four Hall of Fame. You did play professional ball for a period of time in California, in one of the largest states in the union.
That's my point.
Yeah.
I think.
So, Jake is my choice for the Cup Four Hall of Fame. Jake, who else do you have? Do you have anybody in addition?
Other than me?
You, Nigel Morgan, anybody else?
Brian Wilson.
He belongs there.
Look at this list. Nigel Morgan and Brian Wilson.
I mean, Puig is an obvious one.
I have
one
Puig because he's active.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, there's a whole active contingent of, like, Puig, Bartolo, Adrian Beltre.
Bartolo's good.
At this point, I would put A-Rod on there because, like, if he sneezes on the street, we'll do a thing on it.
A-Rod is kind of like a Ford Frick Award winner, whatever that is, for the Cup Four Hall of Fame. Like, it's not so much what he did as a player, although he's all-time great player, but he wasn't like a Cup Four player. But in retirement,
boy,
absolutely.
I mean, he should get in for his contributions with A-Rod Corp alone.
Yes, A-Rod Corp actually sponsors the Cup Four Hall of Fame. I don't know if you know that.
That's true. Yes, the A-Rod Corp Cup Four Hall of Fame.
The Veterans Committee should put in Mark Fidrich.
Yes,
because if Cup Four, that's a great one.
We should do a bunch of like Cut Four posts that are about things that, like, what if Cut Four existed in 1977?
This is a long percolated concept that may circle back. Nothing is ever dead at Cut Four, so things will always recirculate through.
Me to you.
that too. Okay, let us move on though. That's fun. I like the Cut Four Hall of Fame. I think Nigel Morgan, first unanimous Cut Four Hall of Famer. I think that speaks a lot to
his.
We need to get him on the podcast so that he can accept his induction into the Cup Four.
I can try and track him down. My favorite Nigel Morgan thing is that he was like, could have played professional hockey.
I didn't know that.
Really? Yeah. I did not know that.
Google Nigel Morgan hockey and there's a bunch of cool stuff.
You know all of the like guys who could have done other sports.
Yeah, all the crossover
that's
sports.
Like,
Scott Rowland is a basketball player.
Yeah, that's your corner. Niches. Yeah. What was the one? You put one in Slack today. What was it?
Patrick Corbin doing a 360 dunk.
Can you dunk a basketball, or could you before your career-ending injury?
Well, I'm more athletic now than I was during my career.
Okay.
Which is a you know.
Of lengthy career it
of
was.
Lengthy.
Yes.
Okay. Can I dunk a basketball? No. I can touch the rim.
Okay, that's something.
Okay, that's something.
I can dunk on a 9-foot hoop.
Sure. We'll count that.
There was a video of me actually dunking a bat as a bat flip.
That's that fun. Well, it's funny that you say that, Jacob, because you and Jordan live tweeted an event that happened on MLB Network called the 50 Greatest Bat Flips of All Time. There were 50. They counted them down. They were wrong. I think we can say that on this podcast. I'm okay calling them
Skibidi
out.
Pop pop.
They had the greatest bat flip of all time at number two, but we'll get to that in a second. As the bat flip expert, I want to ask your opinion on maybe the greatest bat flip of all time, and then maybe an under the radar bat flip.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so they only did MLB bat flips.
Yes,
ML bat flips. If you had to do a top 50 of all of them, I am a big fan of the grainy high school footage bat flips.
Okay.
There is Dan Vogelbach one that is the Tom Lawless one, but more, like, demonstrative somehow.
Okay.
My favorite bat flip of all time is the Joey Bats one. It is, and it's widely accepted as such. Yes. It's almost like the Beatles, right?
That's exactly.
Everyone loves the Beatles to the point where you're like, oh, we talk about the Beatles all the time, like whatever. But they are still the best and the most important, right? They are still that, right?
Yeah.
And for me, what the Joey Bats flip did is it showed everyone that bat flips were okay to do in on a public scale at that point, and then people started doing it way more. So that is why I think that is the best bat flip. And I think we also forget the context of that inning.
It's the exclamation point on 30 minutes of sheer madness.
And if you're talking about baseball moments in the last 15 years that you remember where you were for it, that is up there. Top five moments, right? Baseball moments where I remember where I was. Right, you can. I was. Like,
oh, yeah, I was. You remember? Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I remember it very vividly.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I was studying abroad, and I was at a bar in London with a bunch of Canadians that were living there.
Yeah.
Who I didn't know. I just needed to watch baseball in the middle of the night somewhere, and so I found this place, and I went in, and I had never seen Canadians so, happy. It was amazing. They were and I felt like an outside. It was just this beautiful moment. And okay, so that's the great.
That was also the moment they became Canada's team. There's just so much context around it that is, I think, why it's number one. I think what the point that you made that I want to put a pin in, because I think it's a really good point, is that it was the breakthrough bat flip. This was the moment that it went from being I don't want to say underground, but like something that you would do but might be frowned upon,
like,
or
Tim
that
McCarver would yell at you.
Yeah, and this was the moment everybody kind of understood what a bat flip really was saying.
Yes.
And I think it was the moment that it kind of reached the mainstream culture of oh yeah, this is a totally cool thing, and we should be super thrilled when guys do this because it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Chris, do you remember where you were?
I was working. I was sitting right on my couch.
Yeah. That was.
Oh. And I think we spent 5 minutes just typing an unintelligible string of characters into Slack.
I know. Well, it was one of the other thing. This is not bat flip related, but my favorite thing in baseball is when everybody's wouldn't it be crazy if this guy homered right now? And then he does it. That is the best thing.
Yeah.
That is hands down the best thing in baseball.
Yeah, I agree.
And there are a few moments that are better than that. Cause it's one thing, even a walk-off home run or whatever. You're never wouldn't it be crazy if right in this moment
Ryan Hannigan
it's not like that,
went the other way off of Chris Perez in the eighth.
That's what this moment was. That's the Ortiz grand slam I talk about all the time. That's what that was. The moments where it's just everyone who is watching the game is this dude is gonna jack one.
Right,
there's juice in the building. It's electricity. Uh-huh. It's
juice.
There's juice, man. Let's talk about.
Oh, yes, underrated bat flip.
Yeah. Give me your underrated bat flip.
The Carlos Delgado one.
Okay.
So the game where Carlos Delgado hit four homers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first of the four, he did an insane bat flip where he turned towards his dugout, and threw the bat like over his head towards the dugout.
There was anger behind that.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was the first of the four, which makes it nuts. He did this extremely demonstrative bat flip, and then
he just knew.
It's like, I'm gonna hit three more of these bad boys. Like, just you watch.
I'm celebrating now for the three that I'm going to hit later.
Exactly.
Yeah, like this is an IOU for later in the game. Here's the other question I want to tell you, because we loved this 50 Greatest Bat Flips of All Time show. This was really cool. And what other shows like this would you like to see on MLB Network that are like just counting down like weird ephemera in baseball that, you know, they do the greatest home runs, they do the greatest steals, they do all that stuff. But I want to hear some of the other kind of wacky stuff that you want to hear them do a full rundown on. Chris, what do you have?
My first idea was the best hidden ball tricks in baseball history.
Okay.
Because that's a thing that I feel like I really enjoy when it happens, but I feel like I've forgotten about a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there's a whole bunch that have just been kind of lost, you know, to the memory of, you know, in the course of watching a zillion baseball games every year.
I'm surprised.
So, like, to be able to relive them would be really fun.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. It seems like you would get into autopilot.
Yeah, I think it's a cold spell.
Yeah, I don't know why it doesn't happen more often. But I agree that, yeah, it would be... That would be a really good one. One I thought of was the best, this is related to that, was the best guys losing track of how many outs there are in the game. Because I love when that happens.
That is an excellent one.
Yeah, balls and strikes. My favorite, though, is when like a guy will catch a fly ball out and like pose for pictures while the play is going on. Yeah, it's great. That's my favorite.
Put the ball in the stands.
Yeah. Jake, what do you got? What's one that you want to see?
This is touchy, but brawls.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I feel like they've done brawls, best brawls.
Brawls
I
are
feel
tough.
Like they would.
I have a lot of, I think a lot about brawls because, like, I think everyone's just being babyish, but at the same time, seeing these people do something that we don't see them do ever is always interesting.
Yeah.
In the same way that, like, watching a baseball player play golf is interesting. So, like, watching a baseball player, like, part of the Rougned Odor thing that was nuts, right? Was like, oh, like a dude punched a guy on a baseball field. And we were all like, whoa. So I find that, like, at least it would be like hard to not watch.
Yeah.
And also hard to watch.
See, I like the brawls even where there's no violence. Like, I think because what's interesting about the brawl is not actually the brawl. It's the team dynamics that are revealed as the brawl happens of like, oh, so-and-so didn't leave the dugout with everybody else, or so-and-so was the first one out, or like, oh, that guy let in the bullpen. Right. Like, that's the stuff that I live for and that I want as much of as possible.
There was an amazing moment from this season. I want to say it was an Angels-Dodgers game where the benches cleared. And the bullpens are right next to each other in Anaheim, I'm pretty sure. And there was a shot of Kenley Jansen in Houston Street. I'm pretty sure it was – I know it was Houston Street. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was Jansen. Running out of the bullpen and, like, Houston Street, like, playfully trips Jansen. And it's clear that they are buddies, right? And they're running towards this like, scuffle in the middle of the field. It was so adorable. It was great.
That's the stuff that I love. The guy who doesn't really care about the fight but is, like, making the token effort to get involved so that everybody doesn't yell at him in the clubhouse.
Yes.
I want all of it, and I want as many video breakdowns as possible.
Like, when the Lakers got into that scuffle this year, and Lonzo like ran
away.
Lonzo
Ball.
Yeah, that's the stuff. Like, you want to see those dynamics at play. Chris, do you have another one?
I would love to have is best pranks in baseball history, but I'm not sure if we have enough of them on video. I feel like the best ones happen kind of in the clubhouse.
Yeah, that would be a really good one.
But there are some that I would love to have been a fly on the wall for.
Mm-hmm.
This is related to hidden ball tricks, but pickoffs.
That's good.
I think pickoffs don't get enough love because watching so many failed ones kind of desensitizes us to them. Julio Urias, who we've all forgotten about, Dodgers guy, led the majors in pickoffs in his rookie season in half a year. He had like six or seven pickoffs in that half season, and his move is filthy. A good lefty pickoff move is awesome. The timing of a pickoff move to second is great. I think a
compilation of people pulling the Jeff Nelson third to first move and having it actually work.
Well, it you know it's banned now.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
So the third to first move, which was a staple of Jake Mintz's college baseball career, let me tell you, I was the third to first move guy.
I was about to go on a rant about that.
I know.
So
I would get brought into games with runners on first and third
just to do it
because
sure,
my move was
games, yeah.
Yeah. So in my career, I picked off four or five guys with that. And I only threw like 30 innings. including two box.
There you go. That the two yeah. box are really what bring it
but,
home.
Like we would work on that all the time. But it's been disallowed in the big leagues. I want to say since like 2003.
Yeah, I remember when they. I think it was more recent than that. Because I do remember when that happened. Yeah,
but it's still allowed. And I think D1 got rid of it, but now D3, it's for some reason still
D3
allowed.
Is a lawless zone. Yeah. You can do whatever. I agree about the pickoffs because like it's kind of like in soccer where there's only like two goals in a game, but like everybody loses their mind because the whole game is building to it. And so it's like people are sometimes like caught off guard and it's, oh my God. And like that's kind of what pickoffs remind me of because it's like, you know, you see a bunch of throws over to first and you're like, oh, well, this is nothing. And then when it happens, there's like kind of like stunned disbelief and then everybody instantly goes nuts.
Like the camera misses it.
Yeah. And like that doesn't happen with anything else in baseball because like with a home run, you see the ball flying out of the park. So it right. builds and like with a strikeout, you see the pitch coming through. So,
like the Colton Wong pickoff was one of the most surreal things.
Well, yes. And it was like the game just was over. That was it. And so like it just and that was on the road. So people were just silent. But like you think about like even when it happens at home and it just boom, it goes in and then just there's a whoa, like everybody just instantly 0 to 10. Yeah. That's what I love about that. So that's a really good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
I had one which was best guys taking a pitch, thinking they drew a walk, starting to walk to first base, and then having to be called back to the batter's box to finish the at bat because it was actually a strike. That's my one of my all time favorite things in baseball, and I would love just a compilation of like 70 of those.
Wildest pitches.
Wildest pitches is good.
Wildest pitches is a good one.
For celebrity first pitches, that's a good one.
Yeah,
as you know, we talked about 50 Cent.
Home run robs. Week.
Home run robs. Oh, yeah. I think I'm sure they have that one too.
Ball boy catches.
Yeah, these are good. If you have ideas for other compilation shows you want to see, tweet them at us at Cut4 with the hashtag #CutForecast. We'll retweet the best.
Tweet them at MLB Network too.
Yeah, tweet them at MLB Network. Tell them Cut4 sent you. Let us now, we are out of time, so it is time to summarize our podcast into 280 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Jake, since you were live tweeting the game, since you are the most prolific tweeter of the three of us, why don't you give us your tweet first?
So do you know the GIF? The GIF of the nuclear... It's like the nuclear explosion where it starts small and it just turns into an enormous mushroom cloud explosion.
Sure.
Okay. So that's my GIF.
Okay.
And the tweet is Cut4 egos when Gemma leaves. And that's it. When at Gemma Kineko
leaves.
That's
really a succinct encapsulation of this show, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, that really was too, that was right on.
Like, what else needs to be said?
Yeah. Yeah. We have to try those. So, Chris, what do you got?
Let's see.
Do you even have a Twitter, Chris?
I'm a Twitter lurker, as Dakota.
He has like a secret Twitter account. Is this the one that like
all the GMs?
It's like that. But I think yours, you actually tweeted like high school sports that you were covering. Like, isn't that your account?
Yeah. Before I worked at Cut4, I had a Twitter account because I covered high school sports and I was contractually obligated to tweet frequently.
Yeah.
But
isn't that the worst?
So I've been thinking about it though. We'll see.
All right. Give us your tweet. I let you stall.
All right. Let's see. Oh, I have one. All due respect to Joey Bats, Tom Lawless has the best bat flip of all time. # thumbs down with a gif of the Lawless bat flip.
Wow.
That's good. I like that.
Hot take.
Stand
by it.
That was a good tweet. I don't know what mine is.
Oh, no.
Okay. This is going to be bad. Because the thing is, like, the only tweet I can think of is a ripoff of your tweet, so which I think would be that'd be a fitting way to end
so
the
your Twitter
forecast.
Account.
Yeah. Yeah, so it would be pictured, the Cut4cast, without Gemma, and then it would be a colon, and then it would be the gif of the Yankees fans doing the, no, not the thumbs down, the like.
Oh, this, the hey!
Yeah, that's our, that's the Cut4cast without Gemma. But that's just a ripoff of your tweet. Don't like my tweet. Don't retweet my tweet. Block me.
No one was planning on
no
it
one.
Anyway.
I know. I feel like I just need to tell you that.
Blocked and reported.
Yeah, Jake, what is your Twitter handle?
At Cespedes BBQ.
Follow.
At
follow
Peter Jake. _ Pachinko.
Yeah, there's also Peter Pachinko. He's the MLB insider.
MLB insider.
With Cespedes Family Barbecue.
Yes.
That's like your guy on the inside.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
your Twitter account handle.
Mine, I am at Dakota Gardner. So you can follow me and you can tweet at me that I'm terrible at Twitter, which is true. You can go to MLB.com/cut4 to read about all of the things that we discussed today. You can see the full list of the 50 greatest bat flips of all time. You can see all the articles related to the topics that we discussed. You can go to Facebook.com/cut4, like our page. All our stuff will appear in your newsfeed at Mark Zuckerberg's behest. You can follow us on Twitter at cut4. At cut4, much better than at Dakota Gardner.
Yes.
That's just a fact. You can email us. Cut4cast@mlb.com. Cut4cast@mlb.com. Questions, comments, queries. When is Gemma coming back? I know you're all wondering that.
Yes, please.
I mean, honestly, she's probably not going to come back now because she's going to listen to this podcast and be like, I'm never setting foot in that room again. This is a podcast.
You can find me on most New York City-based dating apps.
This is a podcast. You can get this podcast anywhere that you get podcasts. For example, Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to get your podcasts. Go in there, type in Cut4Cast. Yes, Jake, what were you going to say?
The bodega on the corner next to my apartment just started carrying podcasts.
Wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
That was clever of them. You want to diversify if you're a bodega.
I'll have eggs, milk, and the Cut4Cast, please.
Yeah, so type Cut4Cast in. We'll pop up. You can click subscribe while you're there. You can leave us a rating or a review, 1 to 5 stars. Hey, take the time to do it. It helps other people find the show.
What we used to do is we would tell people to review 5 stars and then just write your favorite baseball player.
Yeah, just do that.
You don't even need to write anything about the show. 5 stars. Who's your favorite baseball player?
That's all we want. If your favorite baseball player, who you think should be in the Cut4 Hall of Fame, because that kind of is a Cut4 Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's there forever. So, yeah, do that. That's a good idea from Jake. Speaking of whom.
First time for everything.
Jake, thank you for coming on the Cut4Cast and letting us mock you for 40 minutes.
I mean, it's just an elongation of my day, so.
Chris, thank you for letting us call you and for being on this episode of the Cut4Cast.
Thank you for having me. And Gemma, I apologize.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and yes. We'll talk to you next week.